Jesus sounds awfully harsh in today's gospel. Calling someone a hypocrite is an intense insult. It cuts deep. But then everyone is worked up as they wrestle through how best to live their faith when we catch up with them this morning. The religious leaders are concerned that Jesus is breaking the Sabbath by healing this woman, healing being a form of work. And I would guess they're worried that his example will lead others astray. I can imagine that they might be thinking that it is hard enough to help people keep the Sabbath as it is. There's always so much clamoring for their attention, so many reasons to skip it. And so they don't really need the added challenge of this charismatic, rabble-rousing rabbi giving people permission to just go do whatever they want. Jesus hears them. He takes in their words, and then he responds with fire. As I hear it, he is showing us how very human he is here. He's allowed to get mad after all, otherwise, how human would he really be? And he's also showing us his divinity and his abounding compassion. Because of his unwavering love, he can't stand the idea that this woman would suffer any longer. He also can't stand having these leaders question the choice to share this love. So yes, he is mad. And he's also giving them some important feedback. I think even in that righteous anger, Jesus is trying to help them see something about themselves that they have missed. What lands for us mostly as an insult, I think would have carried a little more nuance for them, maybe given them a new idea to chew on. The word hypocrite in Greek doesn't just mean someone who says one thing and does another, as we tend to use it today. Instead, it refers to someone on stage, someone in a theater, an actor in a play, someone who is wearing a mask. Yes, these religious leaders are keeping the Sabbath. And it's complicated. What Jesus calls out is that they appear to be going through the motions, even if those motions are very good. Remember, he is a devout and practicing Jew. He believes in these rituals. He thinks it's great for people to go to the synagogue, to pause their work and study the Torah and spend time in prayer. What these leaders are missing, though, is that the way they are keeping Sabbath is not leading to liberation. They are stopping their work, but this break isn't helping them to love more. Their faith practice is not helping them to heal their neighbors, which is evident by the fact that this woman has been suffering for 18 years. She's their neighbor. She's part of the community, but still she's been hurting and left to deal with her pain on her own. And even if they couldn't figure out how to help heal her on their own, they also couldn't bring themselves to see how her liberation fit at the very heart of this holy day. Somehow along the way, this gulf came to separate their religious practice from its intended effect. As I have thought about this thorny question, not just that we keep the Sabbath, but how we keep the Sabbath and to what end, My mind jumped in a bit of a surprising way to a neat little gadget called the Aura Ring. A member here at Resurrection was telling me about them this last week, and I was intrigued. Maybe you have already seen them or heard of them, maybe you've used one, but if you have not, Aura Rings are basically tiny but very powerful computers that you can wear as a ring on your finger. And through biometrics, they track the kind of sleep you get at night. As a reminder, there are three kinds of sleep. In a nutshell, there's light sleep, which is nice enough in that we're ceasing to move and work, but it doesn't do that much to help the body heal. Then there is deep sleep, when our bodies are repairing their own tissue. And finally, there is REM sleep, when the truly essential work of brain repair is happening, supporting both emotional health and learning. The makers of the Aura Ring pitch the device as a way to learn about how other habits, diet and exercise, for example, impact the kind of sleep we get, and by extension, the impact of other effects on our health. And the gadget got me thinking, what if this were a way for us to think about our religious practices in general and about Sabbath in particular? What are the real effects of our routines? What are the actual impacts of how we practice our faith? I think the question Jesus is posing for us here is about how we move through the world and why and to what end. Are we doing what we're doing to feel good for a bit? That may be just right. And if that's the goal, excellent. Feel good for a bit. And he's suggesting that our central religious practices, our prayer life, our study and learning, our keeping of Sabbath, our coming together in community, he's saying that these are meant to heal us and heal others. These are meant to set us free and set our neighbors free too. These are, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, meant to repair the breach. And this is where I want something like the Aura Ring that would tell us what kind of healing comes from the different faith practices we keep. Though this would be admittedly reaching for an easy fix. Instead, we're asked to dig deeper. We get to try to pay attention to cause and effect. In biblical terms, we can look for what fruit comes out of our different habits and practices. Do the things we do help us to love more? Do they help us notice God in our midst more? Do they help us to hear what the right next step is? The one that will help us move more fully into God's grace? If they do, amazing. Let's reach to go deeper with them. If they don't, though, let's get curious. Part of what Jesus is doing, I think, is giving us permission to experiment. We don't have to do everything the way it's always been done if the reality is that healing is going to come another way. We get to pay attention and tinker and respond. We get to see what else might be possible. When we spend time with these questions of how we practice our faith and why, We can reach to connect what we hope for with what actually happens. There is plenty we can't control, of course, but there's some that we can. And pulling our intentions into alignment with what we do and how we do it, this can help us to get there. We get to take stock and try new ways and try to be intentional. We get to choose, Jesus is saying, which can help us to be more real in the way that he's urging these religious leaders to consider. This is how we can drop the masks and stop accidentally going through the motions and then live out what we say is most important to us. What are we doing? And why? What fruit is it bearing? With God's help, we get to choose. We get to be real and live in a way that truly brings healing and liberation for ourselves and hopefully for everyone around us.